Bickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Every day, 9 o'clock, Sarah Cazell takes us through all the happenings at Bickley underscore Murata on Twitter. We call it Social Studies, and it begins right now. Hi, Sarah.
Indeed it does. Hello,
we go
fellas.
Right from Mock My World into Social Studies.
I know, and then into the Survivor Series.
Yes.
Fun
then
never
Mike
stops
Wilbon.
In the show.
And then into Mike Wilbon.
Ooh, can't wait for that. Yes. A jam-packed morning here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Thank you all for joining us. If this is your first time, welcome. We get social with you on Twitter at Bickley underscore Murata. We post some questions. I pull my favorite answers and I read them during the segment. So first of all, Dan and Vince, we are starting with the news that we learned yesterday. Well, I guess it's not news. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, they both were out there during practice as limited participants as they get ready for the Chicago Bears. Both guys have missed the past several weeks with an ankle injury and a hamstring injury. Now, Kyler said yesterday he is hopeful that he will be able to play on Sunday. But as Jarrett pointed out earlier, he didn't really sound that confident when he said it, certainly less so than he has in past weeks when asked about his status. So we are asking, of these four options, what do you think is most likely to happen on Sunday? Both Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins play, only Kyler plays, only D-Hop plays, or neither of them play?
That's a good question. That is the question to gaze into the crystal ball with. I am going to guess Kyler Murray plays.
I'm going to say both play.
Okay.
Let's be optimistic. It's not normal for me. It doesn't feel comfortable.
Are
it's
you
not
okay
second
over there?
Nature. But let's do it.
74% of our voters, whether it's because of optimism or they truly believe it, 74% of our voters say both Kyler and D-Hop will play on Sunday against Chicago. 15% believe that only Kyler will play. 8% think that neither of them will go. 3% say only DeAndre Hopkins plays. AZ Beer Dad says D-Hop should sit another week if he is not 100%. Hamstrings are tricky and cold weather sucks. Kyler needs to tape it up and go. And then El Deuterino says, I think if Kyler doesn't play on Sunday, they are not being honest about what his injury is.
Well, that would be
well, about I think, there. Yeah, I think already him being a game time decision 4 weeks ago means that they weren't
being honest.
Yes, but like perhaps more so.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's move on to our next question. ASU basketball last night. Vince, again, I'm sorry to bring up something that you had to witness.
I didn't have to.
You allowed yourself to witness. Yeah. I would say that ASU laid an egg last night, but I wouldn't want to insult chickens who actually do lay eggs. So they lost 51-29 to Washington State. We are talking about the worst game you ever attended in person. So you guys, it can be as media attendees or as fans.
Not necessarily like the most painful to watch.
Yeah,
but
just like
the worst
bad
game.
Yeah.
For me, the first one that popped into my head, the year was 1989. October 15th, 1989, in a game that I believe Ron Wolfley played in. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Anyway, Sun Devil Stadium, Phoenix Cardinals hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. Cardinals started Tom Tupa at quarterback. He threw six interceptions. They lost by the score of 17-5. Which was a perfect example of just how unwatchable that game was. Not the worst game I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Worst game I've ever attended. The worst game I've ever seen is a two-way tie. That two-week stretch in 2012 when the Cardinals went to the Meadowlands and lost to the Jets 7-6 and then followed it up the next week by losing to Seattle on the road 58-0.
I've got two games that jumped to my mind, and I was in attendance for both. The 7-6 Jets win over the Cardinals, which was Greg McElroy's only win as a quarterback in the NFL.
2012, yep.
That was really painful. I don't think anything was more painful than the 2011 NCAA title game held in Houston, Texas, when UConn beat Butler. Butler scored 41 points. Their shooting percentage, it was just one clank after another after another after another. It was awful.
I remember that game.
Gross. Jarrett, were you going to say something?
No, I'm surprised that neither of you picked that 6-6 tie.
That was a good game.
That was a knockdown dragout kind of war. The results sucked, but
I only remember the score and the disappointment in it being a tie and the craziness at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't remember the game actually being exciting.
Yeah, it's because the Cardinals dominated the game defensively.
Plenty of our listeners responded with that one, Jarrett.
Oh, really?
This one from Justin Prestigard. His freshman year at ASU in 1994, the second college football game he ever attended was against Miami, the U. Warren Sapp, Ray Lewis, and The Rock opened a can on ASU. 47-10.
I remember that game.
Corey Decker points to this past baseball season when the Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers. He says, like 12-3. I didn't have time to confirm that score. Chase Field was about 80% Dodgers fans. That's a nasty one. This one from Daylight Films. The two blocked extra points for Alex Zendejas against ASU. I believe that Territorial Cup was in Tucson.
It was.
That led to an ASU
blocked.
Win.
One was blocked by his center's butt.
That's right.
James Brooks. That was the James Brooks game. I thought that was a fantastic game.
Oh, I bet you did. A couple people responded and said last night's ASU basketball game, unfortunately.
Here's the way this went, because I took two people to the game with me. My son, Brandon. And that was his response, that ASU basketball game last night. The other guy I took, my friend Eric, responded to Brandon and said, this is the correct answer.
That's funny.
See if I ever take you guys anywhere again.
That's right. Ungrateful. And then finally, Dude in the Desert says he flew to London in 2017 for the Cardinals-Rams game. 33-0. He says that's also the game we lost Carson for the season.
Yeah, he never played again after that.
Yeah,
that was
painful.
That was his final game was on London soil. Ooh, that was bad. You were at that game,
and I'll never forget sightseeing one day, and I'm just bouncing through the streets. I look up, and there's Wolf.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Then there was a bar in London that they dressed up to be a Cardinals bar, which was also very jarring to be in, you know.
Oh, that's kind of fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna read through this thread a little bit more to share other people's pain from what anybody who was at that game last night.
Absolutely.
Experienced.
We also have a question we don't have time to get to, but maybe later on.
Yeah, we've got 160 responses to it.
So many.
What's the question?
Your favorite baseball player growing up.
Oh.
Going back to the lockout.
Oh, memories. Again.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Social studies, we do it at 9. @Bickley_Murata is where it happens on Twitter. Coming up next. We start to preview week 13 in the NFL, and I think there's a lot to choose from, and that's a good thing for us in Survivor Series. We'll do it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata Mornings on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, it's about that time here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. We are heading to ArizonaSports.com to look at today's sports poll question. Dan, Vince.
Sarah.
Hello.
Hello.
What do you most want to see from the Cardinals on Sunday in Chicago? Four options. I want to see the Cardinals stay injury-free. I want them to stop the Bears' rushing attack. I want them to limit chunk plays. Or I want to see Kyler get back in rhythm with the offense, assuming that Kyler plays.
I mean, my answer is not one of the picks. They're at the point of the season now where I don't care what happens as long as the Cardinals win. Mm. That's not a pick. So what helps them do that the most?
D.
Kyler getting back in rhythm with the offense.
All right. Let's place the vote for that.
Yeah, I want to see hunger and intensity. They've been off a while. Like I said, they've been in this glow of achievement. They're back to being the number one team in the NFL. I want to see some hunger.
Right.
64% of our voters want to see that final option, Kyler getting back in rhythm with the offense. 29% want no injuries for the Cardinals. 4% say stop the Bears' rushing attack. 3% limit chunk plays.
Did anybody write in? I just want everybody to have fun. Get equal playing time and orange slices.
I want a frozen hot dog.
Yeah, exactly. You can get those at Soldier Field.
Thank you, Sarah. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com.
I said, are you ready?
Ready
for the Survivor Series?
Why?
Who will survive?
That question, are you ready for the Survivor Series, was answered definitively by our crew here last week, and that answer was no. We were not ready. All four of us got zeros. We each picked a team in Week 12 of the NFL season that went on to lose. There was a couple of interesting picks. I picked the Texans. I thought they'd beat the Jets. Nope.
I picked the Cowboys. I assumed they'd beat the Raiders on Thanksgiving.
Jared picked a team that hadn't won all year in Detroit.
They lost.
And Sarah went with Philadelphia. And they soiled the bed as well. So we all got zeros. Jared Carlin's five straight zeros, which is almost as impressive as reeling off seven in a row to start the year.
Isn't that unbelievable? 7 weeks in a row correct, and then 5 weeks in a row wrong.
So the way this works is each week we pick a team that we believe will win their game on the NFL weekend. And if you got a streak going, you get that number of points for wherever the streak is. So we're all playing for 1 point this week.
Let's go.
The updated standings, Bick, you're still in first place with 30. Jarrett, you have 28. I've got 24. Sarah, 19. Draft order changes every week, and Sarah will have the first pick. Jarrett will pick second. Bick, third. I will go fourth. Once you pick a team, they are off your board for the rest of the season. So it's getting interesting there, too, as almost half the teams are gone.
Yes. All right. So there is
a lot of games to pick from this week that I think are pretty enticing, though.
Mm-hmm. I have the first pick?
You do.
Correct? Okay. I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts over the Texans. Colts are favored by 8.5, I think. And I've actually, you know, for being trash at the start of the season, they've reeled off some great wins recently. So
last week, everybody, they could have taken control
against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
They sort of got right into the mix of contenders, and they didn't.
This is why you never rule out Tampa Tom or Touchdown Tom.
It's
or
true.
Whatever
the Jonathan Taylor MVP train kind of got a little derailed last week.
Yeah. What a career that guy's had. I mean, he was awesome as a child on Home Improvement, and now a leading rusher.
Shortened his name like John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah. Just went to John. And also, even before that, member of Duran Duran, a lot of people don't remember.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The bass player, right?
That's right.
Range.
I learned from Saturday Night Live that Duran Duran is neither a Duran nor a Duran. So you're right. I guess it's somebody else.
Discuss. Jared, you get the next pick.
All right. I'm looking at the Detroit Lions. How long can they go without a win? I'm betting that they go one more week. The Vikings are another one of those teams that every time it looks like they have a chance to get back right there in the playoff hunt, they stink.
You know why that is?
Why is that?
Because they have Kirk Cousins.
I know, and they still have Kirk Cousins. They're on the road. They don't have Dalvin Cook, and yet I couldn't possibly lose 6 weeks in a row, could I?
No, this is going to be the best two-week stretch ever. Jarrett picks the Lions to win on Thanksgiving, and they lose, and then he picks against them by going with Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, and the Lions win.
And
I'm
going to
pencil in your zero right now.
I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings to win in Detroit this week.
All right.
Get back on track. Stay in the playoff race. Detroit's just not good.
You sound like Pete Carroll trying to convince yourself that you're going to win a game and get on a roll.
That's true.
All right, Bick, you're up.
This Sunday, I'm glad you left me this game. I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins at home against the New York Football Giants.
That's the one that I really wanted. The Dolphins are on a roll.
But are they?
They are at home.
They're red hot, but do you believe that they're any good, the Dolphins?
Well, doesn't matter this week.
Yeah. They've got a really good roster, and now they got a quarterback who's playing well. Smart football people watched Tua last week and said that dude made some real good decisions and some real good throws.
But you know what else they have that is more important and more powerful than anything right now?
What's that?
Belief.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney and Jalen Waddle. These guys are crazy good.
All right, I got the fourth pick this week. And the defending Super Bowl champions are still available on my board. I have not used the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I'm taking them.
That's a good call.
On the road against the Atlanta Falcons this week. There was a lot to pick from. I was very tempted to go Cincinnati over the Chargers.
Really?
San Francisco over Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
That's a good one.
Kansas City over Denver.
San Francisco, I picked week one. I couldn't.
This is the easiest week we've had in a while.
I think I
say that now.
The easiest game I think none of us could have picked, right, was Rams-Jaguars.
Yeah, I think we all did, the Rams.
This feels like the week the Rams get back on track, don't you think?
You would hope.
Yeah,
well,
the Rams are off
hope,
everybody's board.
Yeah. Speaking of the Rams, I don't know if you saw what Troy Aikman said. He said something very interesting about the Los Angeles Rams. He said they tried to build a super team. Super teams do not work in football. It's an interesting concept because remember the Eagles did that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles did it differently, though. They did it in the offseason. Do it in the regular season.
But couldn't you argue that Tampa last year?
Yeah,
that's
I guess
essentially what they did. They added Tom Brady. They added Antonio Brown. They added Rob Gronkowski. And they already had a lot of talent there. They added Leonard Fournette.
But Brady
they added
and
all
Gronkowski
these
were added in the offseason to a good roster already. And look, Tom Brady's the mitigating factor. You have him, you're going to win games.
I guess all the general rules get thrown off.
Now, the Rams want to add Tom Brady now. I think their chances go up.
What do you guys think happens tonight? Cowboys-Saints. Alvin Kamara.
The game's in New Orleans.
Taysom Hill's playing.
Amari Cooper's back.
The Cowboys are absolutely collapsing here.
And that's the whole thing. So you would expect, here's what I would expect. First of all, they're going to be better coached because Mike McCarthy will not be there. Secondarily, it's in New Orleans, which is, to me, it's the most hostile indoor stadium in football. It is crazy hard to win there. But Dallas can't lose that game.
Yeah, I think Dallas finds a way to win, I think.
But if Dallas somehow loses and either Philly or Washington win, that's just a one-game lead in that division all of a sudden.
All right, we're all trying to get back into the win column. Sarah's got the Colts. Jarrett's got the Vikings. Bick went Dolphins. I went Tampa Bay. Week 13 Survivor Series picks are made. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620 right now. Really looking forward to talking to our next guest because he's always gold when he joins the show. The Hall of Famer, Mike Wilbon. Straight ahead, it's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That doesn't concern you. It reaffirms everything that you believe about work and consistency. You know, it tells you if you continue to work and you fight for every possession, you can win every game, and it just inspires you to never believe that you're out of it. And so you fight to keep that streak going, but in pursuit of that streak, you push yourself beyond your limits and you grow. And that serves you well in the playoffs.
It's James Jones, the general manager of the Phoenix Suns. He joined Burns and Gambo yesterday afternoon here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station about whether or not a winning streak consumes you as a player. Suns players dealing with that. I think they have the right attitude on it, but they're going for a record tonight. This franchise has never won 18 straight games. They have the opportunity to do that tonight when they take on the Detroit Pistons. We know they'll be shorthanded. No Frank Kaminsky, no Devin Booker. Book's going to be out for a little bit with the hamstring injury, so the Suns will have to overcome that. And maybe a good opponent coming in there without your best offensive player in Devin Booker.
Yeah, listen, and as I said earlier, I think that the Suns can turn this into a positive, not only from the standpoint of giving Devin Booker a little rest here, given you know all that went on in his offseason or lack thereof, but just in terms of maybe even making this basketball team even stronger by showing them they can be successful without Devin Booker. And that can happen. And I think it happened with Colt McCoy to a lesser degree. Those are kind of apples and oranges, but there's a positive effect sometimes that comes from these situations. So to me, I'm just really, I'm grateful that this has been described as a very minor hamstring issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the smart play is just to let him rest.
Yeah, I agree. He'll be in street close tonight. Cam Johnson also was a player that late in that game against Golden State on Tuesday night was hobbled. Now, Monty Williams said after the game he thought it was just cramps. James Jones did offer a little bit of a Cam Johnson update with Burns and Gambo yesterday.
Cam was cramping. It was a very intense game, increased workload. He had some cramps, but he's good to go.
So that's good news because I was a little worried about that, too. The way... And anybody that's had cramps, hamstring cramps, by the way, the worst.
The other kind, also the worst.
Feet cramp,
yeah.
Foot cramps, also pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to hear James Jones say that he's good to go, he might be relied on more heavily. It's a guy who you have the flexibility, if you're Monty Williams, to move him into the starting lineup, go a little bit bigger in that starting five, and then adjust the bench on the fly. Could be Landry Shamet. We shall see tonight. I thought this was interesting, too, about, a question that was asked to James Jones, too. We're talking about the Suns, how good they are. There seems to be a debate among a lot of people around the nation on that subject. But can a championship team make a statement this early? It's early December. We're still 3 weeks away from the quote-unquote beginning of NBA season. Here was James Jones' thoughts on that.
I do. I think it's every time you step out there, if you show that in November your effort and your commitment to playing the right way and making the right plays is there, teams can see that that's your standard, that's a statement, that this is who we are and this is what we do, and it matters just as much to us in November as it does in June. And that speaks volumes internally and externally as well.
Now, Suns and Pistons tonight, a guy who was at the Suns-Warriors game the other night at Footprint Center, he's a Hall of Famer. Mike Wilbon joins us here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Mike, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Michael,
doing
well. What's happening?
Since the last time we had you on, you had an anniversary. The crew over at PTI celebrating 20 years.
Wow.
Congratulations. The show's still awesome. The anniversary special was awesome. So congrats to everybody over there. You guys deserve it.
Thank you. It just means we're old as hell is what it means.
Well, here in the Valley where you spend a lot of time, we have got the number one NFL team and the number one NBA team. I can't believe my eyes, Mike.
No, I was talking about that with somebody two nights ago while I was in Phoenix at the game. And it's a hell of a time to be a sports fan in Arizona with those two playing the way they have. And the Suns, I mean, the Suns and the way they've been playing is just extraordinary. I thought they were going to get off to a slow start, and I don't mean just 1-3. I thought they were looking at some sort of, 5-4, 9-7 kind of thing. That is not the case. Talk about being wrong.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of people that were wrong that were expecting those growing pains, Michael, but in terms, and I know it's early, and we saw the first really marquee Western Conference matchup the other night, and the Suns beat the Warriors, but even though it is early, where do you see the Suns' place in the West? Do you believe they're the team to beat? Do you think there's a team that could come up on the outside and surprise everybody before it's all said and done?
I think we saw the two teams to beat. I think we saw that. And not just because of what we saw the other night. I really think the Warriors, in some ways, are the teams to beat because they're going to get those reinforcements back. I mean, they're going to get back Klay Thompson. I mean, yeah, they're going to get the big kid back as well. He's in his second year. It'll be good to have him. It's always good to have, somebody come in for depth and foul purposes and the dog days of February and March in the NBA. But I think, for the reasons we've seen with the Warriors already and Steph Curry probably being the MVP to this point, the Warriors are likely that team with the caveat of if the Suns stay healthy too, it's the two of them. I don't know how to separate them. I really don't. The Suns, that was Monty Williams. When I was coming on, was a Monty Williams.
As James Jones.
How you
yeah,
play
James,
and,
yeah.
yeah,
James Jones.
Yeah. They're phenomenal. The attitude, Chris Paul, again, in terms of on-court leadership. I mean, it sounds like a cliche, especially because Charles Barkley's been saying it for 10 years, that Chris Paul is the best leader in the NBA. Well, hell, he is. And so, I love being in the arena two nights ago. I love watching them. I hope that Booker doesn't have to miss many games. Obviously, that's the thing with the NBA we've yep. seen in the last few years is that injuries have dictated, so much of the postseason. And I don't know if it's going to be that different this year. But, man, watching those two, and I don't know what's going to happen Friday now. I mean, I think I know. Look, Friday, the Warriors have to come back
yeah.
and play well. They don't have to win the game. It's not about the result. It's kind of what Monty was just saying. But in this case, it's about the Warriors. And you just hope Book doesn't have to miss more than a handful of games. At least that's where my head is right now.
All right, I want to ask you about Chris Paul because you've got a very special relationship with him. What he has done to change the culture here is just unbelievable. The guy is just a killer. Give us some insight on what makes that dude so different.
Well, for one, it's sort of just his upbringing, who he is. Some of it has nothing to do with basketball. It has to do with his family and just the way he was raised. If you sort of get a glimpse into his mom and dad and his brother CJ, you get a glimpse into who Chris Paul has been since he was in high school, since he was in college. And then sort of the way he learned how to play, you know, the discipline. I mean, learning how to play is one of the forgotten things about basketball now. People want to concentrate all the time on talent and what this person can do in position, how long, you know, and how tall. You know, I mean, fine. But Chris Paul has known how to play at a level that few players do for 15 years. And so that's a big part of it. And then, you know, look, I'm not going to forget the difficult times he's had have helped make him who he is. You know, losses in series and being able to come back from those losses and disappointments. Chris Paul, some of the disappointments weren't his own making. I mean, Chris Paul might have, he'd probably have a handful of rings if David Stern hadn't negated the trade that would have paired him with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that's right.
13, 14 years ago.
Wow.
Right? So there's disappointment in his life and career, but it's how he handles it. And then the discipline, like Chris, you know, Chris is one of these people that you could use the word fanatic. I won't use that word because it sort of undermines who he is. It takes away. It's a negative connotation. But Chris, in terms of just discipline, practice, habits, his diet now, as he gets, I hate to use the word older, but it's older. I mean, you know, he's a guy you want to follow. And he's demanding. I remember asking Book last year about Chris when they were first getting used to each other on a daily basis, even though they knew each other already. And Booker said, yeah, and it's not for everybody. And if you think it's for everybody, ask Ayton. Ask DeAndre Ayton if it's for everybody.
Yeah.
And Chris alluded to that the other night in the TNT interview when he said, man, I'm on Big Fella. And it's not like he feels sorry for him. He does it because he's going to do it again tomorrow night or tonight. Did they play tonight?
Yeah, yes. They play tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's sort of unfair. The Warriors don't play tonight.
Right.
That's what they're probably thinking right about now, too, Michael.
Yeah. I mean, the schedule maker sort of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you hope tonight is not more than a scrimmage, but, that, you know, for the Suns. But anyway, Chris is tough. He's demanding. He's bright. His intellect is completely unappreciated because he doesn't go around trying to show it off.
Yeah.
But it's there in abundance. And he's a coach. He's already a coach. The co-coach on the floor. He's a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he can walk off the bench. He can walk out of uniform tomorrow and go coach. And you'd see, like, how his understanding of the game. He's a scout. He's an uber scout already.
So, next time you see him, you tell him from Bickley and Murata, thank you for coming to Phoenix.
Hey, listen, I told you guys last year, the day that trade was consummated, that it was going to change everything about the Phoenix Suns.
And it did.
Now, I was not going around predicting the finals. I wasn't saying that. But you just look what he did in Oklahoma City the previous year.
Yeah.
Look what he did. And so, and look what he did before that, everywhere he's been. And I just, you know, I wanted to pay off in the ultimate way in a championship. I hope it does for him. Just not because, well, you know, that's how we measure. That's how we count in the culture today. So, man, it's watching them is just, and watching the Warriors. I'm going to sit here and tell you right now, I know what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for a Warriors-Suns Western Conference Final to see seven games of it. Because out of those seven, you know, you're going to get a series, if you had it, where three or four of those games would be like the highest level of basketball that we're going to see now. And people can talk about the Lakers if they want. The Lakers right now are just drama and just drama. They're hype and drama. That's all they are. Now, I'm not saying the Lakers won't play their way out of something, but playing your way into the seventh seed ain't going to work this year. Yeah. Not for them. They're not going to play themselves in the conference final out of the sixth seed or the seventh seed.
Yeah, I agree with you. Michael, thanks so much for making time for us, as always. We appreciate it. You're the best, man.
All right, you guys. Thank you.
Michael Wilbon, ESPN, the Hall of Famer. He joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Wish we had more time with Michael. Coming up, final thoughts on this Thursday. including an update on that Coyotes nugget from earlier in the show. We'll get into that and more next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Garlic Butter Bacon Burger for a limited time, only at Sonic.
Today's song of the day, Panic at the Disco. All this talk about hope. Kyler Murray is hopeful he'll be able to play on Sunday. Isaiah Simmons is hopeful. Cliff Kingsbury is not going to Oklahoma, so why not? We can have high hopes.
Sure we can.
For a lot of different things. I'll admit it. I like this song.
He's got a great voice.
He does.
Have you done binging on that other song that you fell in love with yesterday?
I'm not done binging.
I've never
on this
seen
song.
Anybody get so emotionally attached to pieces of music like my partner does.
I'm not alone on this show. Can I tell the story real quick?
Yeah.
I'm flipping through Sirius Satellite over the weekend, and there's a song that comes on by this band called The Anxiety. It's called Meet Me at Our Spot, and I'm like, okay, this sounds pretty cool. And I went back, and I found it on Apple Music, and I start listening to it, and I'm like, this is a really cool song. And I find out it's The Anxiety is Willow Smith, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's daughter, who got famous for doing the Whip My Hair song. And it didn't dissuade me from being, like, obsessed with this song. And I talked to Sarah about it, and Sarah's the same way. It's a tremendous song.
This has happened to you about 3 to 4 times since we've been doing a show together.
It happens.
I marvel at it every single time.
It happens about once a year, I think.
This song is worth it.
I agree.
Worth the obsession.
It's a really, really well-done
song.
Man,
am I mad at myself. Not only did I miss Golden Bear, but Huggy Bear. Remember Huggy Bear?
Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah. We also miss Ted.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I thought you were going to draft.
Yeah, it wasn't
when
my
you
favorite.
Went with the Bad News Bears.
I did. There you go. There's today's song of the day from Panic at the Disco.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
This came up earlier in the show. Eric Macromalla tweeted out earlier today, as per my Forbes colleague Mike Ozanian, the Arizona Coyotes are, quote, for sale again with the idea of a buyer eventually moving the team to a new arena in Houston, end quote. That was dug into by Craig Morgan, who covered the Coyotes for a long time, and he got the statement from the Coyotes, tweeted it out, quote, this is false, totally false. We're not selling. We're not moving. The Coyotes are 100% committed to playing in Arizona. End quote. We didn't report it as fact. It was just brought to our attention that tweet was out there from some verified people on Twitter.
Yeah,
so
it was
worth a mention.
Yeah.
But look, they're not.
And we're not reporting their denials as fact either.
No. It doesn't shock me at all that is their denial. There's a lot of work to do to keep this team in town, though.
Oh, yeah.
Let's face facts.
Like, where are they going to play next year for starters?
I mean, that's a little thing.
Yeah, it's the detail, right?
Small thing to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Coyotes, I don't know if you saw this story in hockey. Kings forward Brendan Lemieux has been suspended for 5 games for biting Ottawa's Brady Tkachuk last weekend. Lemieux will forfeit $38,750 in salary. Tkachuk said it's the most gutless thing somebody could ever do. Kids don't even do that anymore. Babies do that. Blah, blah, blah. I find it interesting that the dads of those guys, Claude Lemieux and Keith Tkachuk, were once upon a time teammates at the turn of the century with the Phoenix Coyotes.
Yes, they were. I still remember getting yelled at by Claude Lemieux in a bar. He was not happy with me.
What for?
Oh, I ripped him.
Oh, I thought you cut in line and got the bartender's
drank
attention.
The last White Claw.
Yeah, you drank the last White Claw.
Yeah.
There you go. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Mike Mulligan, Michael Wilbon for joining us. Thanks to you for hanging out. We got a Football Friday tomorrow. It starts at 6. So be here because we will. Burns and Gambo later.
Stay tuned. Yeah.
Wolf and Luke are up next.
That's great.
I went into old habits.
I can't believe that's the first time you've done that.
Bick, meet me at the bar.
Yeah, no doubt.